The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. You'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Three. And we're rolling. What's up, dude?
You know it.
Jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle.
Uh-oh. Listen to that. Goes down smooth.
It's scotch.
What kind of scotch are you drinking?
I don't know, man. Something that tastes like dirt and gasoline.
Yeah.
You know, scotch.
Whatever you stole.
I don't know if it was a gift or what. I'm trying to look at all the stuff that's in my house and be like, drink. Like, I'm not trying to add more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You ever look around and be like, oh, I got all these, what would be hot sauces or whatever, mm-hmm. kind of just something piling up. And then you're going to the store. I'm like, why am I going to the store?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm trying to get drunk, what am I going to do? Buy more booze? Drink scotch. You have scotch. You've had scotch for years. Just drink scotch. I get drunk fast.
Yeah, scotch will do that to you. I believe it was scotch. It was scotch that I was drinking at a live Boogie Monster recording. Mm-hmm. And boy, that hit me hard and out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. You just turned into...
Yeah.
Yeah, you turned into a real creep.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to stop talking now.
I would forget you there, and I was like, you're shut up, Kyle. Fucking what?
That scotch will catch you off guard, man.
Oh, here's to getting caught off guard. How you doing, buddy? What's happening?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just not much happening. I feel like my life has basically turned into early retirement without the nest egg. I just hang out all day. All I do is I walk on the treadmill and I watch scary movies. That's all I do now.
But and if
it's pretty good.
If you're not hurting anybody,
mm-mm.
you know, you're not robbing and stealing to make ends meet, you're still making ends meet,
yep. then
take advantage. It won't be like this forever.
No, that's true. I hope not.
Think of it this way. The best case scenario, we all have to go back to work one day.
Mm.
And that's going to suck.
Yeah.
If you like your job.
You're trying to think of that Raising Arizona quote. It says something about, I forgot what the setup was, but he's like, what in the heck you want a job for?
What scary movies you got coming?
Oh, dude, I've been watching all kind of stuff. I took a Boogie Monster listener's advice, and I got into that The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs.
I think a Reddit recommendation.
Yeah, man.
Was to get on that Joe Bob Briggs.
Not the one from the 90s. I used to watch that one he had on TNT in the night. I forgot the name of that one. It was just basically the same thing.
I think that's where I first knew of him.
Yeah. But this more recent version is on AMC. And yeah, dude, been watching all kinds of terrible B movies, but having fun with them. I'm really leaning into some of these 70s and 80s B movies just because you know what you're getting into. I don't expect it to be an Oscar caliber film. It's just it's a silly sci-fi slash horror movie or something, you know. I watched Hell Comes to Frogtown yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Jim, starring WWF legend Rowdy Roddy Piper. And boy, that's a good one.
Did a great job in They Live.
Yeah, yep, They Live.
I only saw that movie within the last year. I know it's a classic.
Kick some ass and chew some bubblegum. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
And Keith David.
Yes, sorry. Keith David from The Shining. I watched that the other day, too. Rewatched that. I've seen that before, but boy, that one holds
Keith
up.
David wasn't in The Shining.
I'm thinking of David Keith. I'm sorry. I get Keith David and... No, not The Shining. Did I say The Shining? I meant The Thing.
Yeah.
The Thing. I didn't mean The Shining. Yeah, I get Keith David and David Keith.
So you were just wrong about everything.
Yeah, right I'm just there. Wrong about it all. But yeah, Keith David is in The Thing, not The Shining.
Keith David. Oh, man. Loved it when he played in Steely Dan.
What?
Oh, never mind.
I got confused because both films had the word "the" in them. Kyle, let me tell you about Hell Comes to Frogtown, starring Rowdy Roddy
Please
Piper.
Please do.
It opens in a...
I love getting sit down by Dave.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about it.
Let me tell you about Hell Comes to Frogtown. We open in a post-apocalyptic hellscape where most of the world's male population have been wiped out. And then we meet... I forgot USPS? The character's name, but Rowdy Roddy Piper's character is a convicted sex offender. So that's fun to play around with there. In lieu of jail time, the provisional government has ordered him to go about and repopulate as much as he can because he has a very high sperm count. So he hooks up with these two babes that work for the government, and they drive him around, and they're on the hunt for fertile females for him to impregnate.
Yeah. Oh, God. Damn.
And then they finally wind up in the actual Frog Town, which is a village of frog-human hybrids. So there's a bar scene not unlike that one in the Star Wars movie. The Star Wars movie, I think the original Star Wars movie. That's the only part of that movie I really like. Is when
Keith David was in The Star Wars.
But they go to this dive bar, and there's just a bunch of these like 6-foot-tall bipedal frogmen hanging out.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting. What's not a dive bar in the post-apocalyptic landscape?
Yeah,
is there still like a craft cocktail bar?
Still some sort of snooty.
Also, you are so Rowdy Roddy Piper is a state-sponsored rapist.
Yes.
That's gonna go fuck frog people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the behest of the government.
Absolutely. So, you know, that age-old tale. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a good one. I watched Chud last night. You ever seen Chud?
I the movie's greatest contribution is how many times the Simpsons referenced.
Yeah,
that's Chud. When the Chuds got me.
You know what's a bummer about that movie, other than everything, is there's very few Chuds in the movie. You don't see many of the Chuds. The and if you're keeping score at home, Chud for cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it with me. I was excited you were going to say it with me.
We don't see enough Chuds. Still a decent movie. David Keith's not in that one. Or Keith David.
Is Keith David in?
I still don't know who on there. John Hurt is in that, though. Father from Home Alone.
John Hurt.
And the crooked cop in Sopranos. He's in that. The actor who plays, speaking of Raising Arizona, the guy who plays Nick Cage's boss, who keep your goddamn hands off my wife. He's in there. Daniel Stern.
I can't remember his name.
Daniel Stern is in the movie, too. But yeah.
Old Danny Stern.
Chud, good, not great. But I'm digging that series, man. The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. It's a fun watch. Bunch of slop movies on there. But
Since we keep bringing up Reddit, I don't participate. Like I'll chime in once in a great while on the Boogie Monster subreddit, but I don't comment anywhere on it. Uh-huh. I go there for information. But there was somebody played some clip of, it's a streaming show somewhere. I don't have all the details. It's called The Terror, but all they did was show a clip of like an old timey guy, like or a guy in an old timey deep sea diving suit.
Ooh.
And it's in black and white.
Okay.
And he's just being lowered off the side of a ship. And I don't know the context of it.
Huh.
But man, and somebody's like, this clip is really scary. And I watched that clip and God damn, it was just icy seawater. This guy being lowered in by a crane. He's going past a portal on the boat. And then in the portal, there's like a monkey screaming. So there's a monkey on the boat.
Yeah.
And he's just being lowered into the icy water in this old-timey diving suit.
The Terror. Okay.
And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to watch this show. You got me. I'm watching this show.
I'll have to check
it out. Let me see if I can get up real close to this mic, see what it does. I'm going to watch this show.
Do it.
New mic. I got up real close right there. I'm watching my levels. I'm eyeballing my levels. Check them out. We're getting pro gear. Pro gear, pro attitude, everybody. Not just an empty threat this time. Not just an empty threat. It's coming in.
Oh, God. Pro gear, pro attitude. That's us. The pro attitude.
Pro gear, pro attitude, babe.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't do scary stuff. What are you doing for Halloween? You can figure out a trick-or-treat device?
Yeah. I was talking about on the Stonebergs how I think I'm going to go savory trick-or-treats this year. I think I'm just going to put out a charcuterie board, maybe little cups of chili. Mix it up for the kids, you know? Any asshole can hand out a mini Three Musketeers.
Ninja star and slices of salami.
Yeah.
Dress up like a ninja and throw pieces of like little star-shaped salami at the
kids. Little.
Oh, that fat ninja just hit me with some lunch meat.
Little travel-sized Slim Jims. Just really, really have fun.
Did you ever go through a ninja phase as a kid?
Oh yeah,
or dude. have a store nearby that would?
I remember
that was an economy.
I thought ninja was an occupation. When I was a kid, there was a small window where I thought that was going to be my career. Either that or
well,
working
they sold
for
the gear.
Yeah. No, yeah. I had
they
books.
Sold the gear like
I had books on it how was to like be a ninja.
It was basically what a head shop was for an 11-year-old. Like, oh, I can't call this a ninja star. I have to call it something else or else the FBI's listening in.
Oh, man.
But then all this, like they had the gloves with the claws in them.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a glove and there was like three claws. It just basically was like a garden hoe.
Yeah.
Attached to the middle of the gloves. And I'm like, well, I'm probably going to need these to be able to scale telephone poles and spot crime.
Got to have the right gear.
This is a outfit. I'm jumping all over the place.
That's all right,
I'm
buddy.
Chanting another podcast. I'm drinking scotch. I'm getting loose, Dave. I got a new mic. I'm getting up close to this mic, all sexy. I don't know if I told you last week how Rachel and I are getting overalls, like coveralls, so we can pet Dirt Nap.
I feel like I would have remembered that, but I like it. I've been the market for overalls myself.
Well, we were, you know, because now Dirt Nap has graduated to lap pets.
Okay.
We got to grab her. She pretends like she's running away, but then you wrestle her onto your lap and she's like, hey, okay, I just got to put up the idea that I'm a feral cat that doesn't want this. But then it just sits there and then won't leave. Like you pet her and she won't leave. Oh. But, you know, on account of Rachel being allergic and then just the cat hair in general, it's getting all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then even if we take our clothes off and put them in the wash, still bring cat hair in the house. So I was like, let's get coveralls so we could put them on.
I love it.
To go pet her. So instead of the pit crew, we're the pet crew. Come on. Huh? What?
Dude, that's great.
It's great. It's great
that's
stuff.
That's pretty good.
And I think Benji, was it Benji Escobar? Who's the guy? Somebody's got a world famous original. It was the guy who was doing all his chain stitching in L.A. And he closed up a shop, moved up here. So I think I'm going to get them embroidered with our names. But then that led me to think of a great costume.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of the coveralls already, I've never seen like a Lady Jason.
Ooh.
From Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to state the obvious there that his mom was the first Lady Jason. But yeah,
okay,
I know what you're saying.
Wait, it was his mom in the original one, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, but no, I mean like...
I know what you mean.
Okay, but the way I'm looking at it, because like I looked it up and it's always like sexy Jasons, but yeah. I'm like talking like you call her like Jason Whores Please or Friday the 13th and you get a hockey mask, but you put like fake lashes on it.
Uh-huh.
And just bedazzle it. That's the whole costume.
It's okay.
Just bedazzled Jason.
I thought you were going like heavy set, 50-year-old heavy set, bosomy Jason. Like,
no, I'm just
not
talking
feminine
about
or attractive, but just that's technically a female, but she's still cut you with a machete.
No, I meant putting like fake lashes on the hockey mask.
Okay. Little blush.
And lipstick around the mouth.
I like it.
But then we got the overalls. And so
I'm jealous of the overalls. What color overalls you have?
I think I just went navy blue. I think that's such a classic color.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good for the light, the sandy colored cat hair, but then you know where the cat hair is.
That's
beneficial.
True. I always get coveralls and overalls confused. So coveralls is like the full jumpsuit.
We got coveralls.
Yeah. And then I guess overalls are the classic where
bib
you
overalls,
just, the strap around the shoulders.
Bib overalls.
Oh, bib overalls. Okay. Okay. Either one. I would like either one. So
I always, you know what? The idea, the concept of a poser still lives in my brain somewhere.
As it should.
Even though I'm 43.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like, oh, you know what? I would think I would use like bib overalls. I love having extra pockets.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you like dudes have, you know, you got front pockets, you got back pockets. That's your wallet and whatever else have you. You still got to sit down.
Yeah.
I would be served by more front pockets.
Yeah.
Hence the love of cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what if you had some just right up top, right at your breadbasket?
I like it. The only problem.
So I would use them for the fact of the pockets.
You got to watch out.
Jacket, I guess.
You got to watch out for male camel toe. With the coveralls and the overalls. They ride
mammal
up
toe?
On you. Yeah, mammal toe. They ride up on you. And
that's an adjustable. Every time I've tried them on, I've always been like, how big are the people buying these? And I know the answer because I've seen those two guys in the Guinness Book of World Records. They're real big. That's the catch. Were those twins really that fat, or did they just get them on tiny scooters for perspective?
They look pretty girthy. They were pretty robust.
I mean, they were big, but those scooters, they put them on the little bikes on purpose. I don't think those guys were like, also, we love scooters. No, you don't.
Oh, man. I like it, dude.
Why not, man? What? It's the time, especially, but the coveralls, I like just the concept. I mean, I don't like the concept of having to pee in public with them, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I'm going to get into it.
I love work clothes. I love blue clothes. I love clothes that you can get dirty. It doesn't matter. It's like I'm working here. So what? I got mud and grass stains and shit. I'm doing it.
It took me a while to adopt that attitude towards, because I would always have like, you know, when you know you're broke and you don't have a lot of clothes and you still like, oh, I want to look nice. Even though I would still dress with a fake blue collar, like the social distortion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm wearing Dickies. Oh, I better wash these every day. Like that defeats the purpose. I still wear Dickies stuff.
I love Dickies stuff.
But then it's like, what? You paid $23 for pants. Do stuff in them.
Mm-hmm.
Kneel. It's okay. Kneel in the dirt. Do things. They're milk. Yeah. They're. Use them for their purpose.
Yeah, I used to rock the Dickies all the time. And I was aware of, like, the poser concept. But I was like, fuck you. I used to be blue collar. You know, kills me is, like, you don't see it so much
like
anymore.
An old guy watching teenagers skate. You're just walking by somebody doing yard work. You know, I used to be blue collar. Hold on, give me that lawnmower. Watch this.
But no, I did.
And then
I
you
used
just
to be very
and then
blue
you
collar.
Fall backwards off a cliff like you did before. You were never blue collar. You can't even ride the lawnmower.
What killed me was the you don't see it so much anymore. But about 5 years ago, the Silver Lake hipster with the overly groomed beard and mustache who weighed 135 pounds, but he's rocking the big lumberjack flannel. There was some web series where they would go around and find those guys and hand them an axe. And they had like a big piece of wood. Like, hey, sling this axe into this tree stump here. Let's see what you got. And you got these little dorks in their flannel could barely pick up an axe. That's where it went a little too far. Like, okay, there, lumberjack, why don't you calm down with your that used to annoy me.
There's a functionality to the outfit. I'm like, oh, it's chilly. Like what? Like right now, I was wearing a hoodie. I don't know what's with me, where I'm cold. But I still pit out every shirt I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Dude, welcome to my hell. I'm sweating right now.
So I'm preaching to the sopping choir right now. What's the deal with sopping? You're always sopping wet. How come you're never sopping dry? I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld. I'm sopping moist. So I put on a flannel shirt because it's like, oh, it's a shirt that is for warmth, but you can keep the front open. So I get that it serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. But I was always very self-conscious of like, okay, you got the flannel shirt. Now you got the Dickies on. And then it's like, all right, do you still have any calluses left on your hands? All right, maybe change one piece of this outfit.
Oh, man. I remember.
It's like the women's rule of like when you're about to like remove one accessory. Mm-hmm. Right before you leave the house, remove one accessory. It's like when guys, like when hipster guys leave the house, it's like take away one element. Take off one article of clothing that belongs to someone who had a job you never had.
Yeah, true.
Those Who Can't did a pretty funny episode where Adam Caton Holland's character got like Red Wing boots. Mm-hmm. And he was so scared to get him dirty. And it was the whole thing. It was just making fun of the idea that he's trying to keep work boots super nice because they're hipster boots.
Yeah.
That show was so good. And it fucking didn't last. Oh, well.
Dude, your character on that show, the episode
drunk. You got it, baby.
The one where they were having the high school election. And you were like, it's rotten from the inside. And you're like, no, me, my organs. Like, what happened?
It was fun. I fell asleep in the shed
for a couple days or something. And then you barged in on the school election and was freaking everybody out. Then you fell off the stage. That was a good one.
Yeah, they had to have stunt people there. And be careful. I'm like, trust me, I can fall. I do this mostly. Mostly I fall.
Oh man! So what else going on up there, buddy? So you got you and Dirt Nap are on good terms. You got a uniform. I like that.
We Rachel and I both knew it would be hack, but also a perfect situation to do like a Tiger King and Carol Baskin outfit with Dirt Nap.
Okay,
with Helen as the tiger.
Uh huh.
But I'm not trying to put that much effort into a Halloween where it's only going to... Although, that is where it's going to live. Halloween's going to live on Instagram this year.
Yeah, that's true.
When you can not only put on a good costume, but also take flattering photos of it, as opposed to you just shit-faced at 1:30 in the morning, dancing in the drive-thru at Del Taco.
Oh, man. I don't have a costume picked out yet. I don't know.
Are you going to do anything for the savory snacks?
I'm definitely doing something for trick-or-treats, and I might seriously do some savory snacks just for some variety, you know?
If you do savory snacks, you should do it like you're like somehow cutting a part of your arm off. Like put like a whole thing of salami in your sleeve and then just shave it off for the kids.
Oh, that is so good.
Or maybe get like a chef's outfit, but cover it in like black smoke, like you've got all burnt up.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just eating part of your arm like, it's actually pretty good.
Oh, my God. Dude, the salami arm.
I love coming up with Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. I'm never good at the execution, but man, I love brainstorming.
I thought about, regardless of what I do with the treats, I kind of want to be the creepy silent guy who people are afraid to walk up on their porch. When I was
That's who you are.
Yeah, well, I'm not silent, but I can be. dude, when I was a kid, I lived in this neighborhood, and we had this one neighbor who we didn't know the guy. We just knew that the Smiths live over in that house. And but every Halloween, the dad would just sit out in the driveway on an old, like a woven chair, like the old timey basket weave type chairs, you know? And he would just sit out there, and he would wear like overalls and boots and stuff. And I can't remember if he had a mask on or sunglasses or something, but he would just sit there. And then he had a boombox that would play Halloween sound effects. So just,
yeah,
you know,
that's a good move.
Yeah. And it really was scary, like for a little kid. And, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of kids who were like, nah, I'm skipping that one. I don't need a Snickers bar that bad. But it was creepy.
What do they got? Mini Twix? I already got mini Twix. Yeah. Fuck this house.
Seriously, so many kids would just like, nope, not going up there. And he would just sit out on the driveway right below the porch and just creep everybody out. And like later on, I found out like, oh, those are normal people. That guy, he's a deacon at the church. He coaches Little League. He's fine. But just a man, just on Halloween, like, you know, when you're 5 or 6 and he was a bigger dude, too. He was, you know, just just this giant dude sitting in an old crusty chair, just motionless and silent, like, no, thanks. So I think I'm going to be that
And then
guy.
Would like jump at you if you came up the driveway.
I don't remember. I think that was kind of the thing was like, no, I'm not. I don't think he did any of that. I think just sitting there still and silent was enough to creep everybody out. I don't think he like lunged at anybody, but like legitimately scared the hell out of little kids in the neighborhood.
Because, well, there was a time like people didn't decorate for Halloween when I was younger, really nobody there, but my dad, who's not really participatory in holidays or anything like that, and is not like a big boisterous outgoing guy. We had Halloween decorations before his kids were even born. He made wooden headstones. He made like a wooden headstone of Dracula. It was like born on this day and died, and then had a bunch of different dates listed. Ooh. Had like Frankenstein and had them all painted gray, and would get dry ice and put it in the bushes. Nice. And so it was one of the only houses in the neighborhood that had decorations. And it was just some long like black robe with a creepy mask. And we'd be little kids. I mean, we went over this about how racist our Halloween costumes were.
Yeah.
I talked about all that. Because, you know, it was a comedy at the time. It was like, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous that I made my kids be racist. Basically, he was Jeff Dunham and we were the puppets. I'm not racist. It's my kid wearing the headdress.
Oh, God.
Don't blame me. It's my 5-year-old daughter who's in blackface. So... Also, I love the idea of a 5-year-old insisting on being in blackface for Halloween.
Yeah.
My parents now being like, that's not really appropriate. Oh, well, let me get away with it while I can. And he would, yeah, do the thing where like being still on the porch and kids would be up there and they'd jump and scare him.
Ah.
And it was like, oh, it was fun. Or he would trick or treat with us, but he wouldn't. He would just walk behind my sister and I and let us go up to the house and just stand still on the sidewalk. Like, basically, we had a Grim Reaper following us through the neighborhood, but wouldn't interact, like, wouldn't hold our hand or anything, would just be silent following his kids.
That's awesome. Like, is he with y'all? I don't know.
Yeah. If, you know, if we had to wear with all his kids, be like, I don't know. What are you talking about? We don't see anybody. When you get a little kid to get in on a creepy joke like that, it's good. It's good stuff.
Man, I saw...
Goddamn, Halloween's the best holiday.
Yo, I love it. I love it. I saw a thing on Instagram the other day. I may have mentioned this before, but little girl had to be like 5 or 6, walking her... They did the thing where it looked like she was holding her own head.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that one? Looks so good.
I did see that one.
Like, yeah, so they put like the fake arms, and then they build up. You know, they build up her shoulders and then her real head is like down near what looks like her chest or her stomach, and her fake arms are holding her real head. Oh, man. I'd like to see more of that kind of shit. I mentioned that in previous Halloween episodes, but I love anything, especially like where it looks like in the original The Office, there's that one scene where, and I'm not a big Ricky Gervais fan, but this crushed me, where the thing where it looked like he was riding an ostrich. So like his real legs look like the ostrich legs.
Yeah, they put those costumes. And anytime they do a thing where they put a costume on a dog and the front legs are like the legs.
Yeah.
And then it's just got arms and it's like a little pirate. Get the fuck out of here.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
I love that shit.
I think, hold on a second. I think somebody's at the door.
All right. Tell him I said, hey.
Just hold on.
We'll just keep it rolling. We're not even going to edit this out.
No, just.
It's dirt nap. Learn to knock.
Oh my God, Dave!
What?
Did I catch you guys taping a Boogie Monster podcast again?
Oh my God.
Want to pat myself on my strange, I wouldn't call it pat myself on the back because I really got more of like a thorax, but I'd say What a coincidence for me coming in at the same time you're recording the Boogie Monster.
Jeez, Mottman, how long has it been, buddy?
It's been a too long. I say it with all sincerity there, David. It's been a while. I've been out. I don't know if you've been seeing the news. I've been back around.
Yes. Yes, I saw that you made another appearance.
I've been kind of driving by the United States Postal Service down there over at O'Hare, been dropping in off of the Mannheim Road gate and letting people know, like a post office man or woman.
Yeah, you've been scaring the hell out of people over there, dude.
You can't call him post woman because that could mean a man that has transitioned.
That's
so
true.
The terminology's for everybody, Dave, I'll tell you that. I'm just back. I'm excited. Are you guys doing a Halloween episode right now?
We're doing a Halloween episode today, right now.
Are you shitting in my caboose right now?
No,
Dave?
Not at all. I wouldn't know where to even do that.
I've got a costume ready, Dave. I don't know if you're ready to hear about this costume.
Yes.
But I went down, you know, one of the Aldi superstores went out of business over in Elk Grove Village. It's a Halloween superstore now.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go in there. I go, like I told you, on Halloween's, I can walk around, you know?
Okay. Yeah. People don't know
it's you. People
are
like, oh, good costume. Mm-hmm. And it's sad for me, Dave. It's sad.
Yeah.
Because people are like, that's a real scary costume. I'm like, this is just me.
It's the only day of the year you can be yourself.
But this year I don't want to be, Dave.
No?
I want to be somebody else just like everybody else. Like, 2020, been a real kick in the rocks kind of year.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's been a crazy one.
I'm going to go get this, Dave. Got a bunch of glitter.
Okay.
A lot of big bucket of glitter.
Uh-huh.
I go, I get all mucusy on account of being a moth, you know?
Uh-huh.
Dump the glitter on.
Uh-huh.
I'm an angel.
You're an angel.
I come in, I'm an angel.
Dave. You're a snot and glitter covered angel. I like
it. I'm a sticky little messenger from heaven.
Okay.
And I come in and I make your day better. Chicago Mott Man, look out.
Uh-huh.
Saint Mott Man.
Saint Mott Man.
I come in, I got a backpack full of dip beef. And I give it that bring your own French roll though. I don't have enough. I just have the beef.
Mm-hmm.
But we make it a holiday. We make November 1st, day after Halloween. We make it Saint Mott Man's Day.
Okay.
You put out French bread on your doorstep. By morning time, hot beef will be in it.
I love that idea.
All the good boys and girls that leave a nice cut open piece of French bread on your doorstep, steamy hot beef, steamy dip beef.
You're gonna have the au jus with it, like how are you transporting
it's dipped,
this beef?
Dave, it's dipped.
It's okay.
Dipped. It'll be dipped. It'll be pre-dipped. Dipped. It'll. Don't worry. Don't think. Don't try and figure out the magic of the holiday. Although, as I say it, I don't want to step on the Day of the Dead that our Mexican brothers and sisters also celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Mott Man will bring you a carne asada. Bring you a put out your torta breads. I'll dip whatever meat of your choose. I'm gonna be limited flying around with what I got there. But you know, if you want beef, carne asada, maybe some suadero. We'll see what we got.
I love it, Mott Man. I love it. Well, man, let me ask you this. How have you been coping with all this, the coronavirus and all the shutdowns and the paranoia? Like, how you been hanging in there?
I've been hiding out. I don't think anybody needs more stress. They're already like, oh, God, what's going to happen to my job? I don't want to get the COVID-19s, you know, and then be stuck on a respirator. And then I got to show up and they're like, oh, God, it's Mott Man. And then their lungs are already stressed from the COVIDs.
Mm.
And then they're freaking out over my presence. So I've been laying low. Also, I'm susceptible just like everybody else. I got kind of like a human body.
Uh-huh.
But these weird wings and the big eyes. But
it's the name, Mott Man.
But yeah, Mott Man. Not Moth.
Yeah.
Mott Man. Not just Moth Bug or nothing.
Are you able to, are you working from home now? What are you doing?
I'm like a Pegasus, but if instead of a horse, it's like a dude.
Uh-huh.
And then the wings are the bug wings.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's actually nothing like a Pegasus.
No.
I'm just me, you know, I'm just Mottman. I'm just out there. I'm just a regional cryptid. I just keep it to the upper Midwest.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Keep it
buddy.
With my food references and my local regional areas. You know, everybody loves like Mottman. We're Mottmares. We saw Mottman over Blue Island. Why is it called Blue Island? Nobody knows. It's a fucking landlocked town on the south side.
Oh my God, Mottman. Well, that's Dave, fantastic.
I tell you, what kind of candies are you excited about this year, Dave? Little Dave, well, what kind of candies would you like placed next to your French bread that you leave out Halloween night?
That's how coincidental that you're talking about French dips and stuff. Kyle and I were just talking about how I might go a non-traditional route this year with the treats that I give out and go savory, like, you know, charcuterie, pepperoni sticks, maybe little cups of chili, that kind of thing.
Maybe little handfuls of beef jerkies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just one big bucket of beef jerky. You just grab a hand. Don't grab too much.
Maybe you throw a nice steamed Vienna beef hot dog at the children.
Okay.
Because like COVID, you got to keep social distance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You rig up a little celery salt on a little shaker with a little string connected to your porch, and you do a little jingle jangle, shake out a little celery salt under Vienna beef hot dog.
Yeah.
You can do that for you.
Mm-hmm. Get the little hot peppers on there, little tomato wedge.
You got the salt, but you got that bright green relish, which is not natural and probably not good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's tasty. A color that should not enter the human body.
Yeah, that's a color of some of your inner working fluids, I would imagine.
That's a bug zapper color. Be careful. Fortunately, bug zappers for me just kind of give me like a. It's more of a kink, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not going to die.
You have kinks?
Yeah, you know, like... Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like, there's no moth lady.
Uh-huh. No, there's not, apparently.
I got no yin to my yang, Dave. Uh-huh. I got to go, you know, I'm just out here finding out, like, what do? Do I spawn hermaphroditically?
I've never thought of that.
I mean, that's a weird life for the guy that's also a bug is maybe just one day also there's babies and I didn't do nothing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Explain that.
Me and Mary Mags.
Yeah.
Me and old Mary Mags just dumping out kids going, oh, I guess it's a miracle. For this being a miracle, I feel pretty inconvenienced, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
Anyway, I'd say don't give the kids candy corn. Nobody over the age of 42.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Candy corn sucks.
Yeah, you know, it sucks.
It looks like the kind of regular corn you wouldn't want. Hey, do you know corn? What if it was also, there's no candy chives.
Yeah.
There's no candy beets.
Yeah. No candy green beans.
There's no sweet broccoli.
Mm-mm. No. Well, did you know that candy corn is often used as a laxative sometimes? You know about that? I think that's why people push it on you so much.
Oh, because it's poison?
You know, you stay regular when you eat that candy corn.
It's because it's a candle wax. You eat it and everything slips right out.
Yeah.
Like a flume.
You been doing anything different to pass the time now that the whole world has changed in the last 8 months?
Oh, yeah, Dave. Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Like, I've been kind of, I went down in Florida. I got a spot down in Tarpon Springs down there. I kind of hang out at.
Okay.
Because Florida got, here's the thing, Dave. Florida got big bugs and weird dudes already.
Yeah, that's true.
So they see one guy who's doing both. They're like, yeah, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of snowbirds. So a lot of snowbirds, snowbugs, as I call myself, snowbug. Mm-hmm. Snowbug. And I go down there. Yeah, snowbug. I go down there. The humidity, it serves me well.
Oh, yeah? You like it when it's that humid?
Yeah, that's where I thrive, you know?
Yeah.
I thrive.
Doesn't frizz up your feathers or anything?
Feather? Nah, my man don't got feathers.
No, that's my
man,
right.
Not a bird.
That's true.
My man's just down in Florida getting some strange.
Getting some strange.
My man's just in the swamp. Doing stuff he doesn't want to talk about on the podcast.
No, I understand. I understand.
I'll say that.
You gotta leave something to the imagination.
But I came back. I understand the United States Postal Service is a bit under the gun.
Uh-huh.
What with the unaccounted vote coming up?
Yeah, that's true.
My man urges you to vote.
Are you registered to vote, my man?
Let's not go into who's registered to do what, okay? Listen, not only am I Mop Man, I'm Chicago Mop Man.
That's true.
I'll get done what I need to get done.
Okay. Okay.
Lori Lightfoot's gonna do her job, Mop Man's gonna do his job.
Chicagoans are known for that kind of, you know, get shit doneness. I like that.
Let's call it back of the room resourcefulness.
Okay, okay.
Oh, I'm sure Kyle doesn't mind if I drink some of his scotch. Right
now. No, go ahead. He's got plenty.
Tastes great to me now that the ice is all melted.
Yeah. Water it down a little bit.
But, Dave, I got to go. I want everybody to get out, go do the vote thing.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be excited about it. You don't got to post a picture. You don't got to put a sticker on one of your several limbs.
Uh-huh.
To let people know you did it. But put it in there. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but, you know, surprisingly for Mott Man's libertarian leanings, I'm a fan of the free market. I'm out here. I eat what I can get. You eat what you can get. But the insect world, insect human hybrid cryptid world is surprisingly libertarian.
I understand.
Very free market.
Okay.
Survival of the fittest is a free market concept. So as a part man, part creature, I truly have one leg in both fields.
I understand. Well, fantastic.
I'm gonna go vote. Don't worry about how. Don't worry about where.
Mm-hmm.
But Mott Man's gonna go drop a ballot off.
Mm-hmm.
I urge you all to do the same, Dave.
Make sure you sign your name. You got to sign your name and date it, or else...
I will sign a name.
Uh-huh. So is Mott Man just one word, or...?
I will sign a name.
A name. Okay. Okay.
Just say I'm dropping a ballot off. Somebody's voting. Okay?
Well, we all appreciate you doing your civic duty, Mott Man.
It's everybody's civic duty. You got to vote to cancel out the person. When you see the guy with the things and the flags on the truck and you're like, I don't like that guy, you're voting to cancel that vote.
That's true.
Because he's going to vote 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
So you should do the same. Keep in mind, this is Mott Man advocating voter fraud, not Kyle Kinane or the Boogie Monster Podcast.
Oh, Mott Man, it's been a pleasure, buddy. We've missed you. We get all kind of messages and emails every week wondering how you're doing.
It's been such a long time, Dave. I miss you guys. I miss Kyle the most because I never met him, but I love the podcast. Dave, I hope eat all the candy corn you can and shit your brains out, buddy.
I'll do what I can, buddy. Thanks for checking
all
in.
Right. God bless all your hearts. I gotta fly out. I got a date. I'm moving inland. I got a gal out in DeKalb these days. Farmland. Okay. It's frost time. We're all moving indoors, keeping warm, keeping each other company, rubbing our thoraxes together.
Well, you do what you got to do to survive there, buddy. Thanks for checking in.
You got it, Dave. All right, I'll see you later.
All right. Tell Kyle to come back inside when you see
him. November 1st. St. Mott Man's Day. Leave your French bread on your doorstep for hot beef.
There he goes. He's flying away.
Ugh.
Mott Man.
Wow. What?
Kyle.
Was that? Did I just see?
What are you doing? Checking the mail?
I heard the door, and then I opened it, and I got distracted. Dirt Nap was out there.
Dude, Mott Man just showed up.
You
missed him again. Every time.
You gotta be shitting me.
Mm-mm. No, you didn't see him? He's sneaky.
I saw something.
He probably knocked on the door and then came through the window.
I thought it was the mailman. I just saw it looked like a large man, oddly shaped man, but full U.S. Postal Service outfit.
Oh, really? Oh, he was in disguise.
And maybe he's impersonating the Postal Service, which seems, from what I kind of overheard as I was approaching the door, one of several felonies.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him because we all love Mothman, but to be honest with you, he's a rascal. That's the best way to describe him. He's just a rascal.
He does seem to operate in an unsavory manner from what I've listened to past episodes.
Yeah, well, he's creative, put it that way. He's not really bound
by human law.
If he were a Major League Baseball pitcher, they would describe him as crafty. He's a crafty guy.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know if you'd prosecute Mothman anyway.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a known address. That's or an ID.
Also part bug. I mean, we're not arresting bugs for the things they do.
Oh, goodness. Oh, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Now that I'm bad, I'm sad I missed them, but. Was there do we have a subject matter we were going to?
Dude, we can get into some subject matter if you want. It's Halloween. This is our Halloween episode. So I thought we would go obvious and real classic.
Halloween.
And I wanted to talk about a few famous ghosts. Ghosts. Hard to say. It's hard to say.
Almost a Misfit song.
Yeah, famous ghost.
What is it? Famous Monsters?
Famous Monsters, that album. I think that was the first one without Danzig. By the way, I told that story on, I'll plug my Gravy Boat real quick. Halloween episode of Gravy Boat is out right now on SoundCloud.com. And I told the story about, I don't know if you remember this, years ago when I was in the van, we were hanging out somewhere and you gave me a lift home to my van. And I was parked right in front of Danzig's house. For like 2 weeks, I parked right in front of Danzig's house there on Franklin Ave. And I told that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea that was Glenn Danzig's house, but also I definitely would not have parked there, A, if I'd have known it was his house, and B, since I had a Misfit sticker on my van. So I don't think Danzig appreciates some weird fanboy, some van-dwelling fanboy parking in front of his house. But
I'm here to kidnap you, Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm giving you a head start.
Yeah.
I'm going to park here for a minute, piss in your yard for a few days, let you know I mean business.
I don't know if you remember, but you're the one that told me. You're like, oh, that's Danzig's house. And I thought you were joking. I was like, because it was an old dilapidated house. And I was like, yeah, that does look like a place Danzig would live in. You're like, no, that's literally his house. I was like, oh,
well,
shit.
I think when I first heard about it, I thought I didn't think it was real. Because you don't think that Glenn Danzig also just has a house.
Yeah. Or especially in Los
Feliz. You live in a castle on the precipice of a chasm somewhere. You don't just have neighbors.
No.
Glenn Danzig has that's Danzig's domicile where he just lifts bags full of bricks to get strong. Then applies mascara with a dead fox's paw. And then next door is Lucy and Tim. And Tim's a graphic designer. And Lucy's a hoe baker.
Danzig taking out his purple recyclables container every Thursday morning.
Well, what's fun to know that, like, that picture of him carrying, like, fresh step kitty litter is probably from the Albertsons right down the street.
Yeah, that's crazy. Right there, that was number one in my shit rotation for many years, that Albertson. So,
imagine seeing Glenn Danzig's nipples through his mesh tank top. Just in the frozen food section of Albertson's.
Oh, God, I'm surprised I never saw him.
Like his two little gummy bear arms poking right through the mesh. Is that
gummy bear arms?
I didn't know if that was a deep. That's what I called my own nipples one day because they're just so tiny. Rachel got a real cat. I called them my cat titties. And then I said that. I called them little gummy bear arms.
Oh, that's funny. Gummy bear arms.
Too much?
No.
Too much for this one?
That's pretty good.
Is this turn into an Adam and Eve ad?
Probably.
50% off all of the Glenn Danzig line of mesh tank tops for middle-aged barrel-chested dudes. Sick of mesh tank tops being made for lithe youngsters? Danzig's line.
Oh, Danzig.
If there's a big and tall goth store out there.
Yeah, what do you think?
What would a big and tall...
Where do you think Peter Steele got all his stuff?
Lurch's. Lurch merch. I wish I was more creative right
there
now.
There you go.
For a big and tall goth store. Throw it in the Reddit. Give us some suggestions. Sorry, Dave. I asked you what we were talking about this week, and then I shit all over it.
That's all right, buddy.
Sorry.
So I want to give you a little ghost rundown here on some more notable ghosts throughout American history. You ever heard of the Greenbrier ghost?
No.
It's not a ghost that haunts a crappy mall in South Atlanta. That's a Atlanta reference. Only Atlanta people get that one. Greenbrier ghost, possibly the only ghost in American history whose recorded testimony helped convict the ghost murderer. All right, so follow me on this. Yeah, get this.
Okay.
Yeah. There's this lady named Zona. Let's see. Yeah, Zona Heister, H-E-A. I'm calling her Heister. Zona Heister. She lived in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, back in the late 1800s. In 1896, she married this guy named Edward Shue, and apparently, by all accounts, he was a real asshole. And they didn't get along. A lot of domestic violence, a lot of issues in the marriage. Well, come to find out that old Shue one day, I'm jumping ahead here. Zona passed away. Mm-hmm. All right, and everybody thought Zona passed away of natural causes. Because she died, the doctor shows up on scene, and Edward Shue, who's a real asshole, he basically, no pun intended, shooed the doctor away. He's like, hey, get out of here. He's a real psycho. And the doctor got scared before he can even really figure out what happened to Zona. Shooed the doctor away. They attributed her death to, quote, everlasting faint. Apparently that was a cause of death back in the 1800s.
Everlasting what?
Everlasting faint. Like you fainted? Yeah, which makes sense. She fainted.
Well, that is what death is.
Yeah, exactly. Everlasting faint. Definitely sounds like something that you might die from in the 1800s. Anyway, fortunately...
Predisposition to not breathing anymore.
Zona's mom is a lady named Mary Jane. She didn't get along with Edward Shue. She thought he was a real asshole. And a lot of issues with Edward Shue there. But so anyway, she suspected foul play, and 4 nights after her death, Zana's ghost visited her mom and allegedly appeared and explained to her that Shue had in fact murdered her by breaking her neck. And to prove this, ghost Zana turned her head completely around, exorcist style, and, owl style, 360-degree, turned her... The ghost tells this to the living mom. Hey, check out this bar trick I can now do with my broken neck. So Mary Jane then demanded an autopsy, and come to find out, the results of the autopsy, that Zana's neck was in fact broken. So during the subsequent trial, the prosecutor, I don't know why I pronounced it that way. The prosecutor.
prosecutor?
I'm trying to read my own chicken scratch here. The prosecutor tried to keep Mary Jane's ghostly.
Who's that hot lawyer? Oh, that's the prosecutor.
That's the prosecutor. The prosecutor tried to keep the ghost visit story hush-hush because they thought it would undermine the credibility of the whole prosecution. But the defense, they asked about it anyway. It came up in court, and sure enough, it backfired. Because if anybody's going to believe in ghosts in the 1800s, it's the Hill people of West Virginia. So, yeah. So based on Mary Jane's testimony of witnessing her ghost come and visit and show her broken neck, Shue was then convicted. Zana's ghost was never seen again. And they even erected a statue in Greenbrier, West Virginia, basically a sorry you got murdered gift to old What's her name? Zaina.
I thought you just said they arrested a statue.
No, they erected.
Right, this one's getting a little out of hand.
No. They erected a statue in her honor. But yeah, so that's crazy.
I got committed by a ghost and they arrested a statue. This place is out of hand.
I've never heard of a ghost assisting in a trial, in a conviction of the ghost owned murderer.
Nor should you. Yeah. Nor should you.
That's pretty creepy.
If you were on trial for anything and they're like, oh, bring him to the stand, the apparition formerly known as, be like, man, fuck this. No.
No, thanks.
Well, countrymen, why are, joke I just made up, and it's wordplay, and you're not going to like it.
Okay.
Psychic mediums should be called negotiators.
Mm.
Fucking, I would do a mic drop if I didn't have a brand new mic. That's very nice.
It's well great. Done,
end of
buddy.
The episode right there. It's end of the episode. It's the best joke that's ever happened.
Ever. Let me give you another one real quick.
Maybe the
most famous ghost in America is someone Ooh. You're aware of, but you may not be aware that they're a ghost. Old Honest Abe. Old Honest Abe Lincoln. Apparently his ghost is...
Oh, they're going to be like Taylor Swift. I'm like, she's been a ghost this whole time? Now I will pay attention to her career. I've always been kind of curious.
But since his death in 1865, we know his well-documented death at the hands of John Wilkes Booth. Apparently, according to Lincoln's friend and biographer, Ward Hill Lehman, he has been spotted, or Lincoln's ghost has been spotted in the White House and other places. It's popped up in the White House. The ghost popped up in Ford's Theater where he was killed. But yeah, this White House stuff, here's an interesting story here. Most interesting story about his ghost in the White House. Winston Churchill was visiting the White House on some sort of trip there. He was in, I don't know what room, it doesn't say what room he was in, but he was, he stepped out of the bathtub, walked into the guest bedroom, and reportedly saw Abraham Lincoln standing there by the fireplace, completely naked and smoking a cigar. Churchill responded, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have met me at a disadvantage." After which, ghost Lincoln reportedly vanished and presumably, I don't know why I said presumably.
So wait, Churchill was naked and smoking a
cigar. Churchill was stepping out of the bathtub, walked from the bathroom.
You had spoken it, it was the ghost was naked.
No, like, no, Churchill.
Because all those rumors about Honest Abe maybe being a gay fella.
Oh, yeah. Like, well,
now that I'm a ghost, I may as well get, you know.
That's a whole
come out of the closet without having to open the door, you know.
Also in the White House, let's see if I can pronounce her name correctly, Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands. She was visiting the White House. She opened a door to, doesn't say which door, but she opened a door, some door to some room, saw Lincoln's ghost standing there, and she fainted and clocked her head.
She opened a door, some room, some door, I don't know, ghost.
Boom, fell down.
Monster hard-hitting journalism.
could you imagine?
I don't know if I'm saying this right. Queen William opened a door somewhere, somehow. Ghost.
What's his name? Abraham Lincoln? Could you? But seriously, imagine, like, if seeing a ghost wasn't, disconcerting enough, imagine it's a ghost you recognize. Like, holy shit, that's Abe Lincoln. That would be a real trip.
What's he doing coming back as a ghost, though? Like, didn't he get enough? I feel like Abe Lincoln would have been like, I got shot in the head after, you know, trying to end slavery and be like, I'm done with that place.
Yeah. Yeah, take a break. You got enough.
Be like, but fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make the world better. You shot me. back there.
Those are the two of the better ones that I found. I'll tell you real quick about Cottage City Poltergeist. Let's see here. Where did this happen? Basically, part of the influence of the
Cottage City
of the Exorcist.
Slurred. One glass of scotch, I'm drunk.
Oh, really? You hammered?
For what scotch lacks in taste, it makes up for in efficiency.
Yeah, dude. It hit me efficacy. So hard. It hit me so hard at that live show. Like it really, because I thought I hadn't drank that much. Like I took a couple of healthy swigs off that bottle that we were passing around, but man,
efficacy. It's weird. I'm gonna use that word more often.
It's weird how different liquors hit you differently. Like we've talked about with tequila.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think like there is a difference. There is a difference between booze, mm-hmm. between how what whiskey does to me, what scotch, even between whiskey and scotch, but then the tequila, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Vodka, I never feel like I'm getting drunk, which I'm sure is why people like vodka. It kind of tastes like a whisper of alcohol going down, mm-hmm. and you're just. Anyway, I'm sorry. What happened in Cottage City?
And you? That one, I'm already bored by that one. I'm going to skip ahead to another.
Oh, okay. All right. Man, if Dave gets bored by it, must have been.
This is one I've been meaning to do a whole episode on, and maybe we'll do that in the future and dig a little deeper. But real quick, the Bell Witch, one of the most notable ghosts, used to haunt the Bell family of Adams, Tennessee from 1817 to 1821. Spirit claiming to be old Kate Bates or old Kate Batts witch. That's what she claimed. I guess she spoke and said, "Hey, I'm old Kate Batts witch." She used to mess with the whole Bell family, including John Bell, his kids, drove them all on the brink of insanity. Typical poltergeist behavior, like constant knocking, scratching sounds, actual physical assaults, like hair pulling, pinching, and sticking the various Bell children with pins. And needles. That boy, could you imagine getting stuck with a needle from a ghost, like someone that's not there?
My thing with ghost stories is like, if they can harm you, why not harm you? Why do this kind of like flirtation violence? My belief rankings are aliens, absolutely, but I give ghosts a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But like the other night, you know, I was in the bath. I think I got up late to go pee or something. But the elastic on my underpants was folded inward,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of unfurled while I was standing there. But it felt exactly like somebody just running their finger across my hip.
I could see.
Well, and at first I did get creeped out, but I could see how certain things that are. Easily, a little big surprise with the supernatural. Certain things that are easily explained when they happen in the middle of the night, when you're kind of groggy, can take on a whole other idea. Or when you're already like front loaded with being hyped up by fear, or getting scared, or thinking something else, some supernatural is around.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I still like the ghost theory, things where I've been like, oh, that might have been a ghost, and then I can kind of piece together a very reasonable explanation later. Like that thing. Like you were saying when you were at the Highland Inn,
mm-hmm.
and seeing stuff move around, and people figured out that it was like an air conditioner, not there particularly, but like the air conditioning can vibrate as at a weird like it can resonate where it, like the fluids in your eye jiggle.
I know what you're saying there. Whatever. But
Yeah, but that's only an explanation. Like, how the fuck would you ever get to the testing situation of like, let's turn on the air conditioning and see if people's eye liquid jiggles? Because maybe that's what ghosts are. Like, how would you ever justify a budget for that? Like, what organization would be like, oh, we got $50,000 to see if the AC at an old hotel makes people's eyes move so they think they see ghosts? Like, nobody's authorizing that spending.
No. You're not going to get a grant for that.
No, not a chance.
Hey, do you know where Archer Avenue near Chicago is?
Oh, hold on, doors. Somebody's at the door.
Did I
hear you say to Archer Avenue? Yeah, that Archer Avenue down here. Archer Avenue running down right through the old Lament.
He doubled back.
Are you going to start talking about Resurrection Mary?
Resurrection Mary, yes. You know
Mary,
about Resurrection
Mary. Who goes
Mary
away and comes back, hence the resurrection names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Archer Avenue.
She come down. Dave, I'll tell you
this. Tell us about it.
Okay, you go down Archery Avenue by Resurrection Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, you look, you drive around real slow like at night, real quiet. I went out and had some scotch for myself when I left.
Uh-huh.
Don't tell nobody, but I got into it. I went down the street to the McMenamins down here in the Portland, Oregon. I got a couple shots. They're like, oh, that angel looks thirsty. I said, oh, you got it, man. And I did a couple of shots at his catcher. Go, that angel drinks scotch like it's not an angel at all. But anyways, so you go down, you drive, you take a car, you drive, you're going to see a lady, okay?
Uh-huh.
Wearing frocks and garments and such. Now... Now she gonna be like, I gotta get BGs, I need a ride. You know, mm-hmm. It's called out. She's just in a frock. Not in this weather. A frock? Get out of here. you're gonna let her get in the car. She's gonna be like, oh, I gotta go down to the thing over there. And you're gonna give her a ride, because she's a nice lady, she's charming, maybe kinda pretty, but like in a bummed out way.
Uh-huh.
You know, Dave, you ever meet a lady and she's like pretty, but she's bummed out, and you're like, I can't, you okay? And then, you can't have a boner for that.
Like so, a goth chick.
You just be like, goth chicks are still like, we're hot, but we just got a lot of weird makeup on. But I mean, like somebody who's sad, you can't get hot for somebody who's sad.
No.
You shouldn't. I'll say you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't get hot for sad chicks. Anyways, she's like a real sad lady. So you get let her get in the car, and you're making a small talk and chit-chat. And then she's like, I'm going to get out here. And you're like, well, you're going to get the fuck out here is a cemetery. Ain't nobody live in a cemetery. You know, Dave, nobody live in a cemetery. No one lives in a cemetery? Ghosts.
Who's that?
Ghosts.
Ghost.
Ghosts. So then she gets out. And she's going to go up right to the gates. She can walk right through the gate. Walk right through the gate. And like, I know those gates are locked because they don't have to be open. Mm-hmm. You're not keeping anybody out, keeping anybody in. They're dead. We're alive. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. She go through the gates.
Wow.
Or other scenario. You're a cab driver.
Uh-huh.
She gets in the back, as is accustomed to the cab. Maybe you got a new Resurrection Mary story. On account of you being a Lyft driver, well, with the gig economy, keeping a lot of people afloat because they're in a lot of student debt right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just pulling up. It's your own, it's your own Toyota Camry, many miles on it, but it's a reliable vehicle. So you keep going. You can still drive Lyft with a Camry. This sad lady, she gets in the back. She looks kind of old timey. She's a little bit mystified by the power windows.
Mm-hmm.
So you're driving her down Archer Avenue right by Resurrection Cemetery. Ooh. Also, weird name for a cemetery on account of their dead. And now we're going to call this place the thing that says come back from the dead. Uh-huh. Oh, here's a whole field that we named after you returning. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. So then you're driving. You're making chit-chat, but you're a Lyft driver. You operate on, star rating. You don't want to be offensive, so you're just kind of giving her space. You know, she's not asking for the aux cable. She doesn't even have a phone. Rare occasion. Somebody in the back in your Camry, they're not on a phone. They're just looking out the window real sad-like. So you're giving her space. All of a sudden, you're getting close to the cemetery. You don't hear nothing. You don't hear no click of the power locks. But you look back there. She's gone, Dave. Dave, she left. Oh, did she just roll out onto Archery Avenue? Nah.
There's no way to know.
She's Resurrection Mary, Dave.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, I got to get out of here. Okay, I'll go.
Okay. Well, thanks for doubling back.
Don't forget November 1st, St. Martin's Day. Put your French bread on your doorstep for the hot beef.
Oh, my God.
I'm assuming I just missed Mothman.
You missed him again. Jesus.
This is getting ridiculous. One of these days,
I'm gonna have to make sure.
I'll sign on the door that says Mothman, come on in.
Make yourself at home. Oh my God.
Did I miss anything? What did I miss? What did you guys talk about?
No, we talked about Resurrection Mary. About the ghost lady who hops in your car and then disappears there on Archer Avenue.
Oh, boy, did you cover it?
Yeah, I mean, he was very well-versed. So he hit all the bullet points that I was going to make, so.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So two visits in one episode. That's pretty good from old Mott Man.
Well, it's weird that he's just hanging out in front of my house and I don't get to meet him.
Oh, that's a bummer. Well, I'm getting hungry.
So I understand that. I can go. I wish I was still eating meat. I got a hankering for like a beef dip sandwich for some reason.
Ooh, dude.
So I don't even know where to get one. I mean, I got all this French bread. I don't know where to get one.
Oh, that would be good right about now.
I'm probably. I mean, it's going to go bad by the time Halloween gets here. I'll probably just leave it outside. Maybe a squirrel's one or something.
Did you ever eat at, what's that place in downtown LA that's supposed to be great for that? Philippe's?
Oh, yeah. The origin of the French dip.
I never been
Not
there.
To be confused with the beef dip, but. Mm-hmm. Philippe's and Coles both claim to have invented the French dip sandwich.
Now, what's the difference between the French dip and the beef dip? I'm sorry to interrupt. What's the difference?
I'm not entirely sure. I think it's toppings related.
Okay.
Maybe toppings, maybe breads. The lore has it that somebody had ordered just a beef sandwich, and then they dropped it in the au jus sauce, and whoever was ordering it's like, nah, just give it to me. I'll eat it like that, and hence it was born.
There you go.
Easy enough, but ooh, man. We've spoken highly of, our chicken places.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to the beef, man, a lamb dip. I love lamb so much. And a lamb dip from Philippe's. And Philippe's is fine. It's still the original building. Coles is good, too. Also, they're both great.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, Philippe's has a little bit more character to the spot. Coles is a great bar, though. Coles is a great drinking spot. Or at least it was before the world shut down.
I know where Philippe's is at. Where's Cole's at?
I don't know, probably a few blocks away. It's downtown.
Oh,
it's
okay. Downtown right
LA.
There.
Somewhere. I don't know exactly, but it's downtown LA.
Okay.
And, yeah. A dip sandwich.
You know what I'm making tomorrow? You know, I'm gonna break out the smoker tomorrow, and I'm going to make poor man's brisket burn ends. But instead of brisket, I'm doing it with a pot roast. I'll smoke a pot roast for about 6 hours, chop it up into chunks, throw it in one of those aluminum foil disposable pans with a little barbecue sauce, little onions and garlic. Let that shit all simmer in there for another couple hours. Back on the smoker. Oh, boy. Serve it over some rice, maybe.
I know I have to go like full AA style off me. Like, there's no, like, I had that chicken sandwich, and immediately I was making these contingency plans for, like, well, what if I just have meat on Tuesdays and Saturdays? And well, what if I have Tuesday and Saturdays? I'm probably going to want to have it Friday, so maybe we'll have it Friday and Saturday. And then one day, I'm like, no, man, you just can't.
Yeah, I like that never works. Much. That's how I used to do with cheat day. I would, cheat day used to be on Saturday, and I would diet real, I'd be real strict the whole week, and then Saturday, I'd have cheat day. And then by late Saturday night, I'm like, well, it's technically already Sunday, and yet I'm still cheating. So maybe cheat day will just be Saturday and Sunday, and then eventually like late Friday night, be like, well, it's technically Saturday. Let's go ahead and start cheat. Yeah, cheat day turned into cheat weekend real quick.
Yeah, once you introduce the idea of cheating, it was if I'm already cheating, I might as well cheat a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right, well, let's let you go get a supper time.
Yeah, it's time for another feeding.
Well, shit, man. I guess it's a happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Happy Halloween. Well, by the time we speak next, we will have had a Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And, this will be coming out. Well, no, we'll record next Monday, so it'll be Tuesday voting.
Yeah, day before. You voted yet?
Man, I'm having a whole ordeal because I don't have an Oregon address.
Mm-hmm.
But I just found out like 2 days ago that they don't forward ballots. Because I'm just, they'll just, I'm change my address as like a temporary change.
Yeah, I had to go up to my old place and snag mine.
Yeah, I've been waiting for 2 days ago. I found out they don't forward ballots. So I did like, man, there's all this ease of voting shit. It's not easy. I'm like, okay, cool. Absentee ballot. I could do it online. I voted. I printed it out. Now I just need to find out how can I mail this in a plain envelope? I cannot get a straight answer on whether or not I can send a plain envelope. Because right now, even the thing says print ballot. I did. And then it just says sign envelope. Sign any envelope? Sign any plain envelope?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right.
No, that doesn't. That, seems like that's going to get kicked back. Somehow.
And I called the county clerk in LA, and they're like, yep, plain envelope. But then I called the Democratic headquarters here, and they're like, oh, I don't know. You have to find out and call. I'm like, not that, I mean, I'm not super worried about the big ones in California, but there's some other ones, like, you know, I plan on moving back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so these issues do affect me. So we'll see. Anyway, that's my calamity with that. So I'm trying to get it sent. I did order a absentee ballot to be sent here, but I don't know when it's going to get here. I don't know if I'll get it and get a postmark back on time. So,
yeah, I filled mine out and dropped it in a ballot box Saturday because I heard somewhere that last Saturday was the last day to mail it in and it be counted by November 3rd. You know, you can mail them in or do whatever up until November 3rd, but the mail-in ballots, you know, it's going to take a week or two for those later ones to get counted.
I don't think they're going to be able to make any decision.
Yeah.
On Tuesday about who it is. It would be great to be like, overwhelmingly, the way I'd like to see it go. Yeah. Even though I'm not, it's like you have a choice between eating rocks or eating dry spaghetti.
Yeah. I'll take that spaghetti, I guess.
And the people that still want to eat rocks are like, well, there's minerals in those rocks. Like, there's other ways to get those minerals. And the people that are eating dry spaghetti are like, this still sucks, but at least it's all technically food.
Yeah, at least it's technically food.
At least this is closer to what we should idealistically hope for.
Yeah.
Because rocks are not at all good for you. Rocks are just bad. There are minerals, and they are minerals, but you are wrong about eating rocks. You should not eat rocks for minerals.
Rocks,
you should eat
big,
other things for minerals.
Rocks is a big, stupid asshole.
Yeah, so. All right, buddy.
Fuck that guy so hard. I've been doing good. Not ranting and raving about him.
We're doing all right, buddy. God, we'll get there.
What a fucking clown.
We'll see. We'll see in a week. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. Buddy, good catching up. Have a great Halloween. Enjoy those overalls.
You too, man. We'll catch up how the savory treats went next week.
I think I'm going to do that salami arm guy.
I mean, nobody's going to eat just slices of raw meat you touch with your hands, but it is a funny thing to do in front of a child is cut off, or just like your finger. Like put hot dogs in a glove and then accidentally cut one off and then just eat it out of the glove. Ooh, you know what is extra gross? Baby carrots look exactly like little stubby fingers.
Ooh, that's true.
And they have like a resistance when you cut them. Because I've been slicing up baby carrots to church up some ramen.
They got a nice snap to them.
Yeah, they got a little more resistance. Whereas a hot dog, you're going to go right through it. It's not believable.
Mm.
Anyway, that's my two cents.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Hell yeah, buddy.
All right, buddy. You hold down the fort. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.